Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Carrie Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Hewson et al. Titled, Increased Post-Flight Carotid Artery Stiffness and In-Flight Insulin Resistance Resulting from 6 Months Space Flight in Male and Female Astronauts. This article published online January 8, 2016. Joining me today are consulting editor David Gutterman, lead author Richard Hewson, and content expert Walter Ray. Let's get started.
This is David Gutterman. Welcome, Richard, Walter, and Kara. Today's topic is quite literally out of this world. Dr. Richard Hewson will be discussing his recent AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology paper that describes changes in vascular stiffness and insulin resistance in astronauts spending time on the International Space Station. It's known that prolonged gravity induces adaptations in neural control mechanisms, including baroreflex sensitivity, that result in orthostatic intolerance upon return to Earth. Therefore, exercise countermeasures have been developed to prevent the hemodynamic instability, and they've been fairly effective. Dr. Hewson, in fact, has been quite instrumental in defining the vascular and neural reflex changes that occur in zero gravity and has tested preventative exercise programs. But one area that has not been extensively studied is whether zero gravity alters vascular stiffness, particularly in vessels above the neck, which are exposed chronically to higher pressures during spaceflight, and this could lead to enhanced stiffness and disease. The current study makes some striking observations about vascular stiffness and insulin resistance in astronauts, with important implications for long-term spaceflight, like missions to Mars or beyond, and for space station inhabitation. Dr. Hewson, would you please start off by summarizing your findings and their implications for us?
Certainly. Thanks very much, David. You know, when an astronaut goes into space, as you just said, you lose gravity. Without gravity, you don't have to work very hard. In fact, you can push with your finger at one end of the space station and float right to the other end. So that greatly reduces the workload that everyone experiences. So physical inactivity, it's sort of the ultimate sedentary lifestyle up there, except, as you mentioned, for the times that they're doing exercise. So we were looking at whether or not that exercise that they do is enough to counter some of the changes that happen in the cardiovascular and cardiometabolic systems. Certainly, you've got the effect of gravitational gradients. You know, on Earth, our blood pressure is always lower up in the head and in the neck when we're in the upright posture. So that chronic sort of hypertension-like condition might also affect the blood vessels. And those were the two primary factors that we wanted to investigate, whether that change in hydrostatic pressure affects the blood vessels, and whether or not physical inactivity affects blood vessels and some of the other biomarkers that we can look at.
Thanks, Richard. This is Walter. I had a few follow-up questions for you. The first of which is, I wondered if you could just comment on the overall, just generalizability of the findings. And I wonder if you could comment on whether some of these observations regarding carotid stiffness or insulin sensitivity are present in comparable clinical settings.
Yeah, thanks, Walter. Those are really great questions. There are some really nice bed rest study results from a few years ago, a study done in Germany by the group from Nijmegen in the Netherlands. And they showed, in fact, some changes in the blood vessels that are fairly consistent with what we found in spaceflight. So if you take a healthy person, put him and her into bed for 60 days, you start seeing changes. If you have someone who's ill and has to stay in bed for a period of time, the vascular changes might take a little while, but the cardiometabolic changes are definitely going to be happening sooner. And again, with bed rest studies, we have seen development of insulin resistance.
So Richard, this is very interesting. And you had mentioned that the impact of these changes is quite impressive in the paper, that after just 6 months of spaceflight, you have the equivalent of 10 years of normal aging in the terms of the distensibility of the vessel. I was wondering if these changes are reversible, and if so, how long does it take? Is that known?
The answer is we don't know how long it takes. We believe they're reversible. And I'll say that because we think the major factor that's going on here is, in fact, the blood pressure. So if you make them relatively hypertensive for a short period of time by taking away gravity and the blood pressure in the head is now higher, you return them back to Earth and you get back to the normal gravitational gradients, blood pressure is lowered, and you should get a vascular response that reverses the changes that you see in spaceflight. So if that's the only mechanism, that should definitely reverse fairly quickly. If there are some of the other mechanisms that are involved in normal aging, you know, maybe they'll take a little bit longer. We really don't know all of those details yet. We've just commenced another study that's called Vascular Echo, in which we will actually be following the astronauts out to 12 months and get a much better idea of the time course of recovery.
So just as a follow-on to that question, you mentioned that you think it's primarily a blood pressure sort of mediated event. Could you comment just briefly on how the Carter-Bear reflex plays into this? I know there's been some work done. Jim Pawelczyk did some, pretty old work now, looking at sympathetic outflow during spaceflight. So what do we know about how this changes and how that sort of that regulatory mechanism is at play during spaceflight?
Yeah, thanks, Walter. In spite of the fact that you get an elevated sympathetic nerve activity being recorded, at least in short duration flights, the arterial blood pressure is the same or even perhaps a little bit lower in spaceflight. So there's sort of a disconnect between the way we normally think about how sympathetic nerve activity might be affecting the blood vessels and the arterial blood pressure response. There's still some more work needed to be done to totally understand that.
So Richard, altered vascular stiffness is one sign of precursor to developing vascular disease. Can you tell us what's known about the effects of zero gravity on endothelial function or intimal medial thickness? Has that been looked at?
The endothelial function's not been looked at yet. There are some projects underway right now that should give us some answers to that. In terms of the intermedia thickness, there's some data that have just been published by our colleague Philippe Arbet. He's measured the IMT in the project called Vessel Imaging, and he has seen that the IMT is increased with spaceflight. And they were able to measure during spaceflight, so it actually happens fairly early on.
So the next question I have, Richard, is sort of a follow-on from that. The study basically capitalized on the change in the head-to-foot gravity vector to examine arterial stiffness above the heart, right, which is protected from hydrostatic forces during a normal gravity situation. So what about the lower limbs? You could sort of speculate that they're somewhat protected in a zero-gravity situation. So what about the stiffness of the lower extremity vessels in this scenario?
We measured the pulse wave transit time down to the ankle, and we did find that the transit time was reduced somewhat in the male astronauts and not changed in the female astronauts. Again, you know, we can go back to the bed rest studies. They also found an increase in the intermedia thickness in the bed rest study for the femoral artery as well as for the carotid artery. And in the spaceflight study, my colleague Professor Arbet has also seen an increase in the IMT in the leg, and he saw that as well in a confinement study. So there's some things happening here to the arterial structure that are consistent with development of a cardiovascular disease process, but we're not really sure yet what the link is, because they seem to be reversible changes, and they're not causing changes like you might expect with cardiovascular disease, where you do get that chronic arterial stiffness bringing about a change in the arterial pulse pressure. We didn't see a change in pulse pressure here. There are definitely some interesting things happening, and we still need to follow up and get some more insight into exactly what's happening.
Let me extend that a little bit more into potential reversal of these changes or prevention. You've been very involved in utilizing exercise to maintain fitness with the astronauts, you know, as a protective mechanism. But in this particular study, as I understand, the heart rate, the resting heart rates were not changed, and your assessment of their degree of fitness was maintained with the exercise on the station, yet these changes in stiffness and insulin resistance still continued. So do you think exercise may not be a sufficient mechanism to prevent this kind of change in vascular function?
Thanks, David. My personal opinion is they're not exercising enough. You know, we showed in this paper that on average they're getting about 30, 35 minutes per day of aerobic exercise, and then they're doing some resistive exercise probably for another half hour per day. We hear the reports from NASA that astronauts are exercising 2.5 hours per day. Their exercise logs just simply don't back that up. The other thing is, of course, they're exercising essentially once per day. You know, the resistance exercise might happen at a different time. But that means they're floating around and highly sedentary for about 23 hours per day. And certainly we're starting to see on the ground now that if people are active in the morning and, you know, go to the gym, but then they sit in their office for the rest of the day at a computer, those people are also starting to develop signs of insulin resistance. So my opinion is that they're not exercising enough, and perhaps what they need to prevent the insulin resistance problem is they need to be exercising more frequently during the day.
So it turns out, as always, exercise is the best medicine, right?
That's quite true. Exercise is definitely the best medicine, and you just have to get enough of it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, Richard and Walter, I want to thank you very much for a very fascinating conversation. I think it's interesting to see these relatively acute effects of weightlessness on cardiovascular function and how they might also help us understand sedentarism and altered cardiovascular function. And I think Walter summed it up nicely that exercise continues to turn out to be a good guy in all of these conversations. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.